You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
What's up, everybody? How's it going? My name's Patrick Zajac, your host of Locked On Angels, minor league play-by-play broadcaster and first-row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome into your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, LockedOnSports.com, your team every single day. That's how I got to begin today's episode. We have reached the low point of the Angels season. And maybe as of right now, maybe the Angels lose tomorrow, we get even lower than this. But playing the White Sox at home, biggest game of the week. I know Lucas was feeling rather optimistic going into the series. He didn't get to say it beforehand, but I was at least looking for if the turnaround is going to start this season. It was going to start this week with four games at home against the Chicago White Sox to get you ready for the Seattle Mariners coming into town, the team you are chasing down for a playoff spot. And the energy, the effort just wasn't there. And quite frankly, that is unacceptable in my opinion. I want to talk about the Angels' struggles against lefties in the first episode and just how ludicrous and ridiculous I think that is in the beginning of today's episode. And then Wild West Wednesday, going to get you ready for AL standings update, and they ain't looking pretty, folks. First time this season that the Angels are two games below 500. And then lastly, update on Andrelton Simmons. I know he was able to finish the game and don't want anything to happen with him and broken hand or anything like that. So we'll get to that in the conclusion of today's episode. But man, oh man. 4-2 loss at the hands of the Chicago White Sox. They did almost nothing against Carlos Rodon, who had a no-hitter going into the sixth inning. Eventually, the Angels do get two runs and two hits off of him, but how is this team struggling and vulnerable against left-handed pitchers? The Angels entered Tuesday batting an MLB worst 219 against left-handed pitchers, and now they have dropped to 9-20 against left-handed starters this season. This is maddening to me, considering the amount of right-handers that are in this lineup. And I know it's not a perfect science, but statistics do show us that righties generally bat better against lefties. How we are hitting 219 as a team against lefties is beyond me. You have a right-handed dominant lineup. And what's the thing that we've talked about with this team in the offseason for so very long is we need to get more balance. We need to get some more lefties in here. That's why so many prognosticators, so many analysts, so many guys who cover the game, so many fans, guys like myself, so many people were clamoring for the Angels to go after a bat like Mike Moustakas in free agency, not only because of the logical fits elsewhere, but because he's another lefty that you could have slotted into the middle of this lineup and create more balance and also help you out. But the right-handers, the Angels should be one of the most dominant teams against lefties this season. I mean, think about the lineup that you can trot out there on a daily basis and how right-handed dominant they are. Ian Kinsler, Andrelton Simmons, Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Justin Upton, Jeffrey Marte has been playing a ton against southpaws, David Fletcher now, Martin Maldonado at catcher, Zach Cozart before he got hurt. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous with how good or how right-handed dominant that this team is. And I tell you what, I mean, I really didn't like a quote from Mike Socha after the game. He was quoted as saying it was basically, you know, at some point you get, even though the team isn't hitting well, that anytime you aren't swinging the bat well, it looks like there's no effort. That's what he said. That's just baseball. There's nothing happening, so it looks like you're not trying, but that's not the case. And I'm not going to say that the Angels aren't trying, because they're out there, they're playing the game every single day, but You can't tell me that right now this team is at maximum effort. A team that is thinking, and with the talent that the Angels still have, despite all the injuries, despite everything else, you still have Mike Trout. You still have Andrelton Simmons. You still have Ian Kinsler. You still have Justin Upton in this lineup. The Angels still have the makings of a top five lineup in the American League. There is no reason why they should be stymied by the Chicago White Sox starting rotation. Yes, Lucas Giolito has pitched well. Rondon actually hasn't been that terrible this season. He's actually been very productive. But at the same time, games you got to have. And the Angels also get a phenomenal start from Felix Pena tonight. And Felix Pena, how about his performance as of late? The dude has an ERA under 3 in a little over 27 innings pitched as a starter. Like, what more do you want to ask for? The struggles with left-handed pitching and the inconsistency in this offense. And I think now, I think we're at the point where it is consistent. You're going to get about 3, 4, 5 games off and 1 to 2 games on and rinse, repeat with this offense. And it's unbelievable. And I can't believe I might say this, but is it time for Mike Socia to go? I haven't said it all season. I feel bad just saying that out loud. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a little over-emotional, but this type of performance in this series, given, you know, the panic button being pressed on this season, I'll say it. Given that happening and the performances of this team and just the lackluster effort, 2 games below 500 for the first time this season, I don't buy it, man. I don't buy this one bit at all. You guys want to sponsor the show? Know someone that does? Hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Rates are always reasonable. Orange County, Southern California peeps, hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. All right, coming up right after these messages, your Wild West Wednesday. Wild West Wednesday, coming at ya.
West side.
Yo, it's Wild West Wednesday.
Yeah. Let's take a trip around the West.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're squeamish, don't tune into this next segment, because now the Angels, as I mentioned, drop in 2 games below 500. They are a 16.5 out in the division, 10.5 now out of the wild card spot. Fortunately for the Angels, the Mariners also did lose last night to the San Francisco Giants. But here's how the standings in the West look like. Houston, 67, and 36, 6 games up on the Mariners, who are 60 and 41. The A's, how about the Oakland A's? 7.5 back. They're at 59 and 43. And you want to talk about playing inspired baseball? Man, they have it in droves. And this is where I draw the comparison to the Angels and wanting to see the young guys from this team perform, because let's face it, baseball as a whole is trending towards the youth. The teams are getting younger. We're seeing guys called up earlier than ever before as the years go by. The Angels need to see what they have in their youngsters. Now is the right time to play them. You're not getting any sort of performance. You're not gaining anything by playing guys like Ian Kinsler and Luis Valbuena and Jeffrey Marte with the lost cause of this season. Call up Taylor Ward. Call up Matt Tace. Put David Fletcher in the lineup every single day. See what you have in these young guys. Do what you need to do to get Joe Adell into the Angels starting lineup by the start of 2020. And I had a lot of you guys asking about that. I don't think Joe Adell's ready quite. He's still 19, fresh out of high school last year. Let's pump the brakes a little. I know he's exciting, but man, get these young guys up sooner rather than later. I want to see what they got. Get Griffin Canning a September call-up. Pitch him in a couple major league games this season. Get ready for 2019 and see if these youngsters are ready to go. They've performed well at the lower levels. I want to see these guys perform. The A's are the testament to that. Yeah, they got guys like Jonathan Lucroy, Chris Davis, guys that have been in the big leagues a while, but who's leading the resurgence? Matt Chapman and Matt Olson, the two Matts, the Bash brothers. And they had their extended looks last season to get ready while the A's were being mediocre, along with the Angels, I might add. They were being a little worse than mediocre, the A's. But nonetheless, You see how it got them ready with their starting rotation? After Sean Manaea? Ain't much there, or at least not on paper. Test it out, man. See what these young guys can do, and then supplement your roster with smart veteran acquisitions. Don't break the bank for guys that are supposed to, you know, completely transition and change your franchise in the offseason. Bring up the young guys. It's time. Maybe we get that after the deadline. Maybe the Angels now are going to move some pieces for scraps, for peanuts, like Ian Kinsler, Luis Valbuena, get these youngsters some playing time at the big league level. I need to see them. We need to see them. The Angels need to see them and see what they have if those guys can be a viable part of the 2019 roster on opening day. Texas Rangers bringing up the rear, but 10.5 back in the wild card spot just ain't happening. The A's, 1.5 back. They've won 25 of their last 32. It's contagious. When you're a young team like this, you're playing well. It's contagious, man. Good vibes run throughout. When one guy hits, everybody's going to start hitting. The A's have been arguably one of my favorite teams to watch this season, man. They're having a ton of fun. I mentioned they'd be a sneaky dark horse in spring training. I didn't think they'd be this good. They're getting the job done. They're everything that I aspire the Angels to be right now. And then what happens, right? The A's notorious sellers and whatnot, they go out having a good season. What does Billy Beane do? Rewards them by getting Jairus Familia to help close down that bullpen and win them some more ball games down the stretch. That's an all-in type move on this season by Billy Beane to get his team into the playoffs and see what we can do. That's all I got for Wild West Wednesday, man. I know it wasn't too hard of a look at the standings because they're ugly. I wanted to take some focus away. I wanted to spotlight the Oakland A's, even though I know Oakland, I know NorCal, we're all us SoCal boys. Yeah, it's tough. Tough pill to swallow, but hey, proof is in the pudding, man. Oakland A's are having themselves a phenomenal season, and they're one of the more exciting ones. And it's due to the youth movement. It's due to the planning by Billy Beane from last season, playing his young guys, the two Mats, getting it ready, and they are paying off with sublime seasons this season. And he supplements his roster with smart, savvy, veteran moves to plug any remaining holes. All right, guys. Coming up next, little thoughts on Andrelton Simmons. Andrelton Simmons, he's going to be all right. Doesn't look like, I mean, he stayed in the game after that little issue with his hand. He really drove me insane in that sixth inning. He breaks up the no-hitter, thinks he can get to second, aggressively turns first. You have Mike Trout in the on-deck circle with two men aboard, man. Come on, know the situation. You're down by two at the time. Then you allow the White Sox to score two more, and it feels like you're out of it at that point. But that's really the first bad thing that I have to say about Simba all season long. He's been phenomenal. I can't really fault him too much. Ultra-aggressiveness, but at the same time, you got to know, man, in that spot, you're not the risk taker. You let Mike Trout be Mike Trout. You got to let him get in that bat there with two runners on base. Doesn't happen often, it seems. And when it does, he seems to get walked every single time. Put the pressure on the opposition there. That was the big turning point of that game where you thought, oh, man, like this game is toast. This isn't a game that the Angels are going to be winning, not with mistakes like that. And that's just a mental mistake, and that's what's most maddening. What does a mental mistake come down to? You know, a lot of the times, a team is performing like this, making mental mistakes reflects on leadership. That's all I'm going to say. That's how I'm going to finish. I know I'm going to, as a social supporter all season long, I know I'm going to get a couple comments from you guys. A lot of you guys are going to message me now saying that I've jumped ship now, and maybe leaning towards it. It's just so difficult not to be after that loss, that type of a loss. You know what I'm saying? That's going to do it for today's episode, guys. As always, be sure to follow the show on Twitter, @LockedOnAngels. You can follow me if you'd like, @OtherPatZajac. Most importantly, subscribe, rate, review us, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, LockedOnAngels.com, where you can find the show and all news related to the Angels, your team, every single day. Have a great hump day, everybody. Lucas will be back tomorrow for you. Take it easy. Peace.